obstruction were insufficient. Therefore, there is no way you could prosecute a case if the prosecutor is unsure.
This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A new book on the late Barbara Bush claims the former First Lady blamed Donald Trump for what she described as a heart attack in 2016. Bush was 91 in June of that year when her long battle with congestive heart failure and chronic pulmonary disease fired up during the campaign for the Republican presidential nomination, when Trump was frequently ridiculing her son, the former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. The book by USA Today Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page is titled The Matriarch, Barbara Bush and the Making of an American Dynasty. It comes out on April 1st. The man President Trump is expected to nominate for the Federal Reserve says he thinks the Fed should cut interest rates by at least 0.5%. Stephen Moore making the recommendation in an interview with the New York Times, in which he also backed away from comments he'd made after the central bank raised interest rates in December. That's when Moore had said that Fed Chairman Jerome Powell should, quote, do the honorable thing and resign. And Verizon is ready to roll out some new tools to block robocalls and alert people to spam. The nation's biggest wireless provider expected this week to announce the free features for wireless customers who have smartphones that can support such features, and that would include Android and iPhones. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
All right. Hello, it's Jeannie Murphy here on I Love New Jersey Radio. I'm going to fix something because I see that we have a problem here with this camera. I turned it. Hello. We're live. Let me see. There we go. And make sure my guest here, John Galena, Flemington, New Jersey, Hunterdon County, award-winning attorney, is here with me now. I'm going to put my earphones on and give you an update on the weather here in Central Jersey today. I hope you're having a great day. This is I Love New Jersey Radio. I'm Jeannie Murphy. I'm with Weikert Flemington. If you're looking to sell or buy a home, please let me know. We don't have enough inventory. Don't be waiting around because there's buyers everywhere and everybody's holding off because of the spring, but it is spring here. And my guest today, John Galena, is going to talk to you about real estate. Learn from his side of the seat, because every time you have a transaction, although it's not required, most of the time you're having an attorney review your work, what you're doing with real estate. So he's going to give us his insights. Today, sunny with a high near 51. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 26. Thursday, sunny with a high of 59. Mostly cloudy on Thursday night with a low around 42. Then mostly cloudy again on Friday with a high of 68. And then mostly cloudy, low 48 on Friday night. Sunny all day, the high of 72 on Saturday, which is going to be a great day. Hope you're going to be out and about, and that's good enough for us for now. So, again, this is I Love New Jersey Radio, and my guest is John Galena, Flemington, New Jersey-based award-winning attorney of law.
Good morning.
Good morning. Pull that closer, please, and speak loud.
Very good.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, that's good. All right, so tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm an attorney. Of course, licensed in New Jersey. I've been practicing law since 1982, so I guess that's about 37 years. I'm a sole practitioner in Flemington. I've had my own practice for the past 25 years.
Nice. So you're over there by ShopRite, correct?
Yeah, it's the office complex. It's called Liberty Court, 260 Route 202.
Mm-hmm. And now, okay, so you're award-winning. Let's start off with that.
When you say award-winning, I was honored by the Hunterdon County Bar Association given the award of Professional of the Year for 2018.
That's a big deal.
Biggest honor of my legal career to be recognized by my peers.
Yeah.
And that was a very big honor. Very appreciative of that.
Okay. So, give us an idea of what were they evaluating? What's the criteria of being the Professional of the Year in your practice?
Well, there's a committee that meets in, I guess, just based on, professional conduct, professional qualities. Of course, I wasn't on the committee, so I don't know what the...
You don't know exactly
what my name was chosen.
And there's a lot of attorneys in the area.
Yes, but my name was chosen for this year, for 2018. It's an award they give out every year, and I was fortunate to get it for the year 2018. I was honored.
I think that you should be. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I want everybody to know that I am so interested in sharing with you information from John, because so many times a client comes along buying or selling a house for, I don't know how or why not, but they don't know of an attorney. They don't, they haven't used one maybe yet if they're a new first time buyer, or they just haven't needed one that, lucky for them. And so I wanted them to get to know you so that they could basically say, oh, I heard about him. I saw him on the, Facebook stream for the chamber, and that he's award winning and you're a specialist in, tell us about your different practices, because I know that real estate is one of them.
I do real estate, also landlord-tenant, land use. I'm the attorney for four land use boards in Hunterdon County, civil litigation, criminal law, municipal court.
That's quite a lot. I mean, that really is, right?
It's a general practice, and basically it's what, a lot of general practitioners, the areas that they engage in.
So talk about, tell us about a day in your life with regards to real estate.
Okay, with regard to real estate, the first thing that comes in is usually I get a call from either the client or a broker stating that there's a new contract coming in, mm-hmm. and we'll take this from the view of the buyer, because I guess there's a lot more activity involved.
Just stay straight with that so that you
okay,
can...
when you're representing the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I tell them is, have you signed a contract yet? Because under New Jersey law is a little bit different. Just to give you some history on that, back in the 1980s, the Bar Association sued the brokers, the real estate brokers, saying that you were preparing contracts and having people sign them, and that was the unauthorized practice of law.
Hmm.
I mean, also common, people would sign the real estate contract and then, I guess, realize afterwards maybe there was something in there they didn't like when they brought it to an attorney. So the Bar Association sued the real estate brokers, stating
Wait, when was that?
Back in the early 80s.
Okay.
stating that you were engaged in the unauthorized practice of law. So the litigation was resolved, and it was resolved by way of a consent order. And the consent order's terms said in every broker-prepared real estate contract, you had to have certain language.
Okay.
It's called the attorney review language. Mm-hmm. So you could sign the contract. All parties could sign the contract, but it wouldn't be binding. You would have a three-day attorney review period, and that's three business days, in which either party had the opportunity to say, I disapprove the contract, and you wanted certain amendments to it.
Mm-hmm.
If neither party does anything for three business days after both parties get a fully signed contract, the contract becomes binding as written.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's very important when you first start a real estate transaction for the client to get, or the broker, to get the contract over to you so you can review it and get your review letter out. And what you have to say in that review letter is, the magic words initially are, I have reviewed the contract and would disapprove it in its present form, and then go into the items I'd like in the contract. Then it would just proceed as part of negotiation until the parties agreed on all the terms. But that's one thing, you know, any buyer or seller in a new real estate contract has to be aware of. And again, that three-day review period begins to run when both parties get a fully signed copy of the broker-prepared contract. And again, that only the three-day review period only applies to broker-prepared contracts.
What's the difference? I mean, okay, I want everybody to know, because you said when you're talking, you're such an attorney, and so you've got it like precisely. And I'm thinking, I'm gonna want everybody to know what he said. I'm being an interpreter.
Okay.
You're saying, okay, so if say you were actually sitting there and representing the buyer, and a client calls up and says, I have just written out this contract with my real estate agent, and I need you to look at it because I don't even know what it says. And then I'm your buyer, and
right.
I go to you, and the first thing you say is,
I would tell them you could go ahead and sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say there's a broker, you know, it's a broker standard New Jersey approved form of contract.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and sign it. It's not going to be binding yet.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is the 3-day attorney review period won't start to run until all parties get a fully signed copy.
Mm-hmm.
But I ask him to get the contract to me so I could start reviewing it.
So I do this for a living, but I want to make sure we're clarifying for you all too. So say you and I, you're the seller and I'm the buyer.
Okay.
And my real estate agent, me, signs the contract, we sign it at the same time. Or maybe let's just say you live half an hour away and it's a Thursday afternoon. And the real estate agent says, okay, the buyer's made the offer, the real estate agent's presented the offer, the seller's he's going to sign it at 6 o'clock on a Thursday night.
Okay.
I've already signed it. Now the seller signs it at 6 o'clock. When does the attorney review start?
Starts the next day. You don't count the day you sign the contract. You start the next day. And again, that's only business days. So you don't count weekends or holidays. So say, for example, you sign at 6 o'clock on a Thursday night, you know, and everybody's got a signed copy then. Attorney review period will begin Friday. You don't count Saturday or Sunday. We could go for Monday and the close of business on Tuesday.
Okay. So if I offered you $250,000 for your home that you own and you agreed and I said that I was going to have a normal bank loan and it was only going to take me 30 days to close and you were like, that's great. So you say, okay. So then you and I, we go into attorney review and then you are looking out for me. I'm talking back as an attorney now. So tell us about like the inspections and the typical things that you look for to protect your client.
Okay. Well, after you complete attorney review, the contract will usually set forth the time period for inspections and the time period if you're getting a mortgage in which you have to get the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd also have a closing date. So the first thing is you arrange your inspections. You go through your inspections. And most contracts would have, you know, the provision you're going to do a home inspection, inspection of all systems. If there's a well, you're going to test the well water. Although in New Jersey, the seller generally tests their well water.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a septic system, you're going to test that. You're going to have an insect inspection for termites. You get the results in, and then you send that to the other attorney, the seller's attorney, asking him, you know, making the request for what you want fixed. And usually in the contract, it states that, you know, the seller then can either say, yeah, I'll do it, or no, I won't. You'll agree on what items the seller is going to fix. If you can't, maybe you could agree on some kind of what they call a concession, where the seller would give you a credit, which would be applied against your closing costs.
That's great. Okay, so all right. So in the attorney review stage, that's the 3 days. Basically, the buyer and the seller are both not obligated to continue on unless, especially if the attorney finds something that's not appropriate and they're looking out for, they get back out, right?
Yeah, I've had instances where, you know, for some reason a party would change their mind and then you get the letter stating that, you know, we've disapproved the contract and we won't be proceeding further.
Okay, well, I want to talk about that. We're going to go to our first break real quick. It's really, really short. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey Radio, and I love this show, and I love saying that. I hope you get a kick out of it. I really mean it from my heart. Do you love New Jersey or what?
You bet.
You bet. We're both Hunterdon County residents, too. John Galina is our attorney here, award-winning, and he's from Flemington. He's talking about real estate matters, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon.
All right, here we are back on the air. In 4 seconds.
A roadmap for economic growth for the business community.
Here we go. Welcome back to the show. This is I Love New Jersey Radio, and we specialize here on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, Hunterdon Chamber Radio, featuring the assets of our lovely county, Hunterdon. And one of them is our attorney friend here, is award-winning John Galina from Flemington. He has you're full service as far as your attorney practice goes, but we're specializing today on really real estate because that's what this show's about. So go ahead. You were going to talk about...
Yeah, I guess what we dropped off last time was about when you want to cancel the contract during the attorney review period. Now, there's a lot of history that goes back to that because when the consent order was first entered where you had to have that attorney review language in the contract, that was back in the early 80s. Okay, before the days of fax machines, before the days of computers.
I was there then. Worked for Wydell.
No internet, no cell phones. So what it stated is that you had to send out the notice of disapproval by certified mail, and everybody was doing that. But now as we went along, fax machines came on the scene. So what you would do is you would call the other attorney and say, can I send my letter by fax? And they would usually say, okay. Then when fax machine, you know, when everybody had a fax machine, everybody was just doing that automatically. Mm-hmm. Then when computers came around,
yep,
people started sending them out by email.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a case where somebody got the notice by email. And this is before they changed the language in the contract. They have since changed it, but this language still said by certified mail. So there was a lawsuit over that saying, well, you didn't send it to me by certified mail. And the court said, look, you're putting form over substance here. You got it. You received it. So that's what counts. So now the realtor's form has been changed to state, you can send it by certified mail if you want to, or by fax, or by email. Mm-hmm. So virtually everybody today sends things by email. In fact, a lot of attorneys don't have fax machines anymore.
I know. I was going to say, what about like that? Because you've been in the practice, and I've been in the real estate agency world, and it's like back in the day where you had to literally drive the paperwork over to your office and stuff from the real estate agents to the attorneys.
That's what I call the technological stone age.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it was all, so you know, no cell phones, no internet,
no
email.
Well, now all I have to do is go on Google Maps and put in like 20 properties, and it will sort them by my destinations. I don't even have to think about it. But back in the day, you had to figure out a route, go preview it ahead of time, and all this. You just tell your phone, take me there.
That's right. Now you just
and it orders.
You get the document ready. It's on your computer. You just, send it out by email. You don't have to worry about, going and getting certified mailings and going to the post office. And
I don't know how we did it back then.
We did it,
That's all we had.
It's gotten just so much faster now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then again, okay, here's a question I'm sure. I get this a lot, okay? This is for you guys out there who are new home buyers. They're terrified of presenting an offer because of attorney review, because of the fact that there's multiple offers going on, that they feel like they're going to put in an offer after it's accepted to an attorney, and that basically because of the 3 days, another offer could come in, so they're going to retain the services of an attorney to be outbid in those 3 days. Does that happen a lot with you?
Very, very rarely. Usually when somebody
accepts unethical
offer
too.
And it goes to contract, I suppose that in the interim, somebody else could present something. However, you have to be careful because there was a case where in that 3-day attorney review period, they agreed they had a contract, and then they tried to void it still within that 3-day review period. The court said, no, you have a contract. You're bound now. You can't now just say, I want to void it even though you're still in the review period.
Wow. How did that happen? That's cool.
It must have happened really fast. I mean,
They
decided they had a deal, then I guess they changed their mind. But now once you have once parties agree on everything, you're bound.
And you can agree on everything before the 3 days, correct?
Yes.
So basically means say this worried, these worried buyers, if the offer's so good and the seller's totally into it, and they've written even a letter to the sellers to make them heartstrung pulled, then if they go into the attorney review having the 3 days, but everybody agrees that there's no problem with it in the first or second day, then you could be out
of
attorney review.
In attorney review, that's correct.
And that's a big deal out there for you people who are worried about that, because that's a good thing. Because I do see where they're concerned, because they end up being hesitant to put in an offer because they're afraid they're going to end up having it.
Well, they have to understand, for their offer to go anywhere, they've got to get a contract and get into attorney review.
Yeah. I think it's one time. Once they do it once, even if it's rejected, they realize it's not that terrifying of an experience. But when you start talking lawyers to new young people, they get so freaked out that it's like they think it's like they're like signing off their life and everything, where it's really supposed to be an enjoyable experience.
It's the biggest investment of your life is a house.
Yeah. But the attorneys are so friendly, and they actually handhold you and make sure you feel good about going through it. They're looking out for you. So don't be afraid of attorneys.
Like, for example, when they have inspections. I mean, people put all this money out for inspections. Then they find something, say, for example, really serious, like a very bad septic system that's going to take, thousands and thousands of dollars to fix, and this, the seller won't do it. Unfortunately, then, if you can't agree, you have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the buyers are disappointed because they like the house, and, they gone through all this expense to do the inspections, but it's a necessity. You got to have that done.
Mm-hmm. So what about, what is some of your kind of, worst-case stories of things that have fallen through that you just couldn't help?
Basic repairs that they wanted done, problems with the electrical system. Or, what I see quite often is people that have owned the house for a while, I always put in my contracts that the seller has obtained permits and approvals for any changes or renovations that have been done. A lot of people, have done approvals, or rather have done renovations without benefit of permits.
Sure.
So then, what I usually put in my contract, it states that if you haven't gotten a permit, you have to go get one.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually after the fact, but, you go and you ask the inspector to come in and look at it and change whatever is necessary. I've never really seen anybody get penalized because of that, but...
I agree. Yeah. I've seen that as well as on the real estate side, where it's like you know when you walk downstairs and they said, "Oh, I just did my basement over 3 years ago." You're going, "I hope you did it with the permit, but let's see what else you got." And right. Then basically you come to the attorney and they're like, "Prove that you have it." I have seen some very, lenient inspector people that come in and they're like, "You know what? This is basic. This is no big deal, and it's not as terrifying an experience to get it as you would think sometimes, right?"
Right. I mean, it's not like I once had one where somebody decided they had a sunroom put in, in addition,
mm-hmm.
without getting any permits. And that could, they lost the deal. That caused a whole lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, then it didn't comply with zoning regulations the way it was built. It was over the property line, and that was a nightmare.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Right. So what about, tell us more about some of the experiences that you've had and some more words of wisdom.
Also, one of the things you have to get, whether or not you're getting a mortgage loan or whether it's a cash deal, is you have to get what they call title insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It's an insurance policy that your title will be good. So they search back the title, for the previous owners and everything, and make sure that the title's in order and that the owners are in fact the owners,
mm-hmm.
and the title is good, because they've had instances where people that didn't even own the property contracted and sold, and then they split, and these people are finding out these people that sold us the property weren't even the real owners.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you a question. This was not in my planned conversation today, but by coincidence, I had a person walk into an open house I was doing this past week, and a couple. Is it okay if I ask you this?
Certainly.
Okay. So, especially because you're planning board things, you've got so many things going on in your award-winning John Galena, Flemington, New Jersey. So this couple walks in, and they tell me that they live in the area in Hunterdon County. And basically, they had bought what was a low-income housing property about 5 years ago.
You mean a, I guess they call it a Mount Laurel house?
I guess.
Income.
It was something.
Level, yeah.
I don't think that may or may not matter. So what they're describing.
Well, they call it affordable housing.
Yeah, it's affordable housing.
You have to meet the income guidelines.
Right. Only my question I'm saying, I don't know if that has a lot to do with this, but here's the deal. So they're like freaking out because they bought the house for like $190,000 and it's really worth like $330,000, but because it's affordable housing, it's got this thing.
Right.
So when he bought it, basically they had the title work done. There were no liens on it. And then all of a sudden he refinanced a year or two later. It went through again, cleared title, and nothing was – there was no lien. Then he went now to go refinance 5 years later, and they have this lien on it for like – they said like something like $20,000 that's because of the affordable housing deed restriction thing that was never there before with a dollar value. And I said – I don't know if you have anything to say. Go ahead. I said, go back to your title insurance, because that's what title insurance is supposed to be for. That's what you pay for. People don't even know what title insurance is, right?
Right.
They think it's about the property and not even necessarily the person, too. So that may be something worth, talking about.
Yeah. See, generally, when you talk about affordable housing, generally when it's an affordable housing unit, it has to be deed restricted.
Mm-hmm.
So that should have been in the deed.
Mm-hmm.
And the title company probably should have noted that, Unfortunately, I also had an instance where someone refinanced and got the loan, and it was the mortgage was in excess of the affordable housing, resale value.
Oh, wow. So
and it wasn't picked up.
Yeah. So who's responsible? Like, where does the buck stop? Does the title insurance company, isn't
well,
that?
You know, so, well, you can go back to the beginning. When a unit is housing, income restricted,
mm-hmm.
and resale is restricted because it's an affordable housing unit, that's got to be in the deed.
Mm-hmm.
It's an affordable housing unit.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone should be aware of that at the beginning.
Right. And then if it clears title, passes title, person moves in with clear title.
Right.
And then all of a sudden a lien comes on it later. Isn't
well,
that?
If somebody neglected to put it in the deed and the title company neglected to state it was an exception, you could potentially have a claim against either the township or the or the title company.
Yeah, because I'm sorry. I got to be honest with you. I was so, I'm not an attorney. So I'm just standing there selling houses, and this adorable couple comes in with this problem. And I said, you've got to talk to an attorney about this. But when I was listening more and more, I kept thinking, You know what? People don't even understand what title insurance is. They just don't. Like you said, you're the attorney. We know that part of the process of selling a home or with our buyers is that they're going to have a mortgage banker if they need one. They're going to have an attorney if they need one. They're going to need a title company, blah, blah, inspectors. But for you, when you talk about like that it is required to have the title, and like you say, when they don't understand, sometimes the title isn't even, it's not clear. So can you explain what that means and exactly what title insurance is?
Title insurance, you have to have title insurance if you're getting a mortgage. If it's a cash deal, you're not required, but no attorney in his right mind would do a closing
without title insurance. No person and their buyer, no buyer or owner would ever go to closing without a title search.
What will happen is the title company will do the search. Mm-hmm. And they'll send a copy to the attorney, mm-hmm. both attorneys, and they'll review it. You know, it states who the owners are and where they got the property from. Then it'll have what they call exceptions. Mm-hmm. The exceptions are things like judgments or liens. If you have a judgment against you, against the seller, if it's been docketed in the superior court, it'll show up mm-hmm. as a lien.
So basically what he's saying is that there's companies that go in on behalf of the mortgage companies under, like, you know, the supervision, I guess you should say, of the attorney who's watching to see what happens. And basically the title company is looking at the house and they're looking at the title and how the title's transferred to different owners over the years. And then they also want to see if there's any tax liens or judgments on the people who live in the house. Because in order for the title to clear, for the attorney to sign off and say, yes, we're going to go ahead and close, all of that has to be paid back or handled, correct?
Say, for example, all right, Gene Murphy is buying a house.
Jeannie
Murphy. So what they will do.
All right, go ahead. What?
They'll put your name into a computer and do a judgment search. Anything that sounds like Jeannie Murphy will come back.
Yep.
Most of the time, you know, or all the time, those judgments won't be against you, so you'll sign a sworn statement that they're not against you but against somebody with a similar name.
Uh-huh.
If they're against you, then that judgment's got to be paid off at closing. Just like also the title company will look and see if there's any outstanding mortgages on the property. Mm-hmm. And they have to be paid off at closing.
Like seconds and so on.
Yeah, first, the second, equity line, all has to be paid off.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that a lot?
Almost everybody who's selling has some kind of mortgage.
Yeah. What about other things, like on the day of closing? Because the title work usually comes in last, right?
They do a rundown, you know, which covers from when the title search comes into when the closing date is. And they send you, you know, a notice of what they found.
And it's really close to the closing date, too, because it's the last thing, right, that happens? Because they want to make sure up until the last day someone doesn't go gamble it away or something, right?
That's correct, yes. Like if somebody didn't...
That's what I learned a long time ago in my real estate class. Sorry.
Okay. And also what the title company does is file a notice of settlement. That protects, gives buyer protection that there is the property is going to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and it's, I believe it's 45 days before closing, the title company will file that. They'll file it with the county clerk. And so when you get to closing, everything should be fine.
So, if you're, like, one day before the closing, like, even if you have maybe that day or something, and all of a sudden the title company says, uh-oh, wait a second, we found this was back from 30 years ago. What happens?
They wouldn't find that from 30 years ago. Maybe, if in that interim time period, the person had a judgment entered against them.
Okay.
That would show up.
Okay.
Then that would have to be
so they
closing.
Do like a last 1 minute circle around?
A rundown.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I didn't know that. I don't pay that much attention. But okay, so then what happens? Like say it's about to close and there's a situation.
Then I'd say, okay, how much is the title company would probably tell you what to do. Usually it's like say, for example, there was a judgment that came up that turned out to be against the seller.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be paid off at closing. Now, if you couldn't reach who the attorney was for the the judgment creditor to get a payoff letter or something, the title company would require you to hold certain monies in escrow.
Oh, okay.
And but the thing is, a lot of lenders don't like escrows being held.
Why?
They just want everything clear. They don't want any money hanging out under these new regulations now, where everything's got to be neat and clean. And
where this. I guess where you're also probably – where I see this is in refinancing, not just buying and selling, but when someone's refinancing and they're paying off their old loan and the monthly payment says, oh, they don't have a payment for 60 days, and then there's, oh, they didn't pay their loan this month or something like that. That's when they have those last-minute things too, right?
Yeah, see, that's why generally who's ever handling the closing, either the buyer's attorney or the title company, will contact the lender
mm-hmm.
and want a payoff letter good as of a certain date. Also asking for a per diem thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
But the lender will also state in its letter that these figures are good until such and such a date. So mm-hmm. if the letter expires, you got to get a new one.
I love the way he can just man all that. When you're an attorney looking out for the couple, this is what you do when it comes to real estate transactions, watching all this happen. And the buyers really don't have to do much. They just have to make sure that they can afford with a qualifying letter from the mortgage company when they go into the offer and stick with not overspending or using anything to disqualify.
Especially nowadays, now that the regulations have tightened up since the foreclosure debacle some years
ago. Yeah, I want to hear about that from you.
In the days of deregulation, the mortgage rules got very loose, and they were giving mortgages out very liberally.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of these people were marginal, and they couldn't afford it. And
right.
There was this big wave of foreclosures in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens now is that, I tell people when you get a mortgage commitment, you get the commitment, but, it's going to go through many sets of hands before you get the final approval and clearance to close. And it proves to be somewhat frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go from the broker to the mortgage broker to underwriting. Now, the underwriter's got to want certain, they may want certain additional financial statements, et cetera,
oh, yeah.
et cetera.
Well, the first person's kind of a salesperson because they're trying to get the mortgage, to their company because you've got options in all the banks and every mortgage company.
Right.
So once they actually get you and give you the pre-qualification letter, then you go to the underwriting person who's the opposite of the salesperson. He's like not selling. He wants
the written commitment is what counts.
Yeah.
The commitment letter.
So yeah.
And the conditions in the commitment.
But it's great when you have a great mortgage person who's up front at the beginning and actually does say, this isn't just about getting your business. You're either going to really qualify or you're not, because
right.
being run around is like the worst reputation for a mortgage banker.
Yeah, but unfortunately with all the new regulations, it goes through a lot of different sets of hands.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And it proves to be certain frustrating because it's
to the buyer, to the new buyers.
When are you going to close the close?
Yeah.
Also, to note that when you have your closing date in your contract, that closing date in a contract is only what they call an estimated date.
Mm-hmm.
So say, for example, you have a contract that says they're going to close, say, April 15th, all right, and that date comes and goes. You're not bound by that date unless both parties are ready. However, after that day passes, either party can serve what they call a time of the essence notice. And generally the waiting period is 10 business days where, you send out the notice to the other attorney, and generally that goes by certified mail.
Uh-huh.
And you state, we'll be ready, willing, and able to close on this date. If you don't close on that date, you're in breach of contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, that usually serves to get everybody moving.
Yeah, everybody does as much as they can. And then if they can't, they can, charge per day? What do they usually resolve that with?
The seller can charge its daily carrying costs mm-hmm. for the property.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because sometimes, I don't know how many people really care about this question, but I'll ask anyway, when you have a domino effect, and it's
right,
you know what I mean? This is important because it's like, I'm selling my house, and I'm closing on the 15th of April, and I want to move into my new house four hours after I close on that one because I'm moving over to this one so I can move in tonight, and all of a sudden you get a hang up on one end, and then you've got like this chaos.
Yeah, it's the domino.
So how do you handle that? I guess that's
fine. You worry about your deal.
I know. I love it. I'm joking
your
around.
Deal, your client, you worry about your client's deal. You put that first and foremost and then get that taken care of and everything will fall into place eventually.
And it does.
Yeah.
Do they? Okay. So say that I was selling my house on Wednesday, the 15th of April, but I can't close on buying my house until Thursday or Friday morning. Now I'm stuck and I can't get into a hotel, say. Would you allow, if you were the seller's attorney, for the buyer to rent for a night and move in before the change of title or
it's
not?
It's not really what they call renting. Very often you have what's called a use and occupancy agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And you make sure you say it's not a landlord-tenant relationship because the tenant has all kinds of rights in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You should say it's a use and occupancy that they could go in. Once they're in, they take the house as it is. They're responsible for any damage. If for some reason the deal doesn't close, they've got to move out by a certain date. And to make sure they do move out, you put in the agreement that if they don't move out by a certain date, then the rate's going to be $100 a day.
Yeah.
And that if I have to take you to court to have you put out, you agree to pay all attorney fees.
Yeah.
And again, stating this is not a landlord-tenant relationship.
Right. That's got to be a whole other conversation.
Parties are generally hesitant to do that, to let somebody move in your house before closing.
I know.
But if it does at times tend to solve a lot of problems, too, about people can't go here, they can't go there, they can't find a place to stay.
Yeah.
As long as you have a strong enough use and occupancy agreement, you're usually okay.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked because I know people out there are trying to think of what questions people were wondering or thinking about when it comes to an attorney. Do you have any other special – it's kind of funny to me about talking about landlord-tenant relationships, but – We have about 3 minutes till we go to the break, so maybe at the end of the show we could talk a little bit about
that. Certainly, because I do a lot of that.
Yeah, tell us about like other real estate transactional things you see in this area particularly.
Okay, generally, if you're going to buy something, if a buyer's going to buy something that's being rented out and they want to live there, the landlord has to give the tenant 60 days' notice. And it's got to be a very specific notice stating that the property is under contract of sale and the buyer wants to reside in that unit. Now, you can't cut a lease short to do that.
Right. Meaning, so if I had a, if I were renting from you and I had a contract that said I'm staying until September 30th, 2019, but I decide I'm selling my house, whoever, my landlord is selling the house and I have a contract, I don't have to leave until September 30th, correct?
Right.
So when does the
Well, if you have a lease that says you don't have to.
Yeah, the lease, right. So when does the 60-day notice apply?
You could run it to, like, say, for example, if the lease expires September 30th, you have to serve it 60 days in advance, 2 months' notice to make sure it coincides. That way, if the tenant doesn't leave, you know, you have grounds to evict the tenant. But that notice is key. New Jersey law is very pro-tenant.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it reads like a roadmap for the different grounds for evicting tenants, but for evicting a tenant because the property's for sale and the new owner wants to live there has to specifically be given in that time period, 60 days' notice.
What if a renter had been there for multiple years, but it was a one-year lease, and every year, it said, in the original contract, it said you can kind of stay month to month, you can stay year to year, and all of a sudden, it's like, no, this time...
Well,
under
New Jersey law, once a lease expires, it automatically converts to what they call a month-to-month tenancy. So a new tenancy begins at the beginning of the month and ends at the end of the month. And that's how it goes.
Okay. I love all this stuff. I hope you do, too. We're going to go to our break right now. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey Radio. And my guest, John Galina, is an award-winning attorney here in Flemington, New Jersey. We're talking about real estate matters. So stay with us. We'll be right back for our last break here.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, nice.
Of course, the nicest day is when we left.
You know? Of course. That's the way it goes. John Galina, our award-winning attorney here in Flemington, New Jersey, talking about real estate matters and so on. I Love New Jersey. Just got back from Florida. And so welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So we were going to talk about landlord. What was it called? Landlord-tenant court?
Landlord-tenant law.
Law. Okay.
Okay. Generally, one thing to understand, I think I said this before, is that New Jersey law is very pro-tenant, really protects tenants' rights. But
do you think it's fair?
Well, when you look at it, you have to take it piece by piece, all right?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the landlord's not running a free house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was meant basically to protect tenants' rights because, you know, landlords can't just evict you for any reason. They got to have a reason. There's got to be certain notice periods. Just to give you an example, all right? If a landlord comes to see me and says the tenant hasn't paid his rent, you know, and I want to evict him, all right, the first thing I ask the landlord is, did you file what they call a landlord registration statement? Most of the time I get a blank stare.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, that is, before you can evict any tenant in New Jersey, it's just basically a statement that states who the owner of the property is, you know, the type of unit it is, who to call in the event of an emergency, if there's any managing agent, if there's a mortgage on the property, who the fuel oil dealer is, if the premises are heated by oil. And you have to file that with the town
mm-hmm.
and serve a copy on the tenant. Unless you do that, the court has no jurisdiction to hear an eviction.
Hmm. All right. Now, what if it's an illegal rental? Is that a complicated question? Do people rent their places that aren't legal? There's legal and then there's illegal.
Yeah, well, see, that gets into being an eviction because the tenancy is not valid.
Oh.
Colin?
Sorry.
Sorry, Colin. First, we're right in the middle of something.
You'd also be facing sanctions from the town.
Okay.
But the landlord, if he knowingly is renting an illegal premises, he's subject to, fines and penalties, of course.
So stay out.
And relocation costs for the tenant.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, all right. So back. Okay. This is a legal transaction now. I have a legal contract, and I have a tenant who doesn't pay.
Right.
And you're like, did you go file this form?
Right. So that can be filed, you know, very quickly.
Immediately.
Just draw that up, and then you mail a copy certified in regular mail to the tenant.
Okay.
Now, for non-payment of rent, no notice is required to the tenant. You just file the complaint, you know, in court, and it gets done very quickly. You just fill out the complaint, you know, you file it, they serve it on the tenant, and you're usually in court within 3 weeks.
Wow.
You have your hearing.
Just one late payment, or does it take
only
five?
Only takes one. No,
yeah,
because
that's
one.
Terrifying.
Now, you go to court, and now landlord-tenant court only has the only powers really they have is to evict the tenant, order a judgment for possession.
Okay.
They don't have the authority to award you damages. You have to file a separate lawsuit to get your money back.
Wow.
Okay. So what would happen is, say, for example, a tenant owed 3 months' rent.
Mm-hmm.
The tenant would have the right to come to court and pay the rent that day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then
to stay? Okay.
Right? They
yep.
have to show up by the end of the day with the money.
Mm-hmm. Do most people wait that long when they don't get paid?
Some do.
I was going to say, because
unfortunately, some people fall on, you know, hard times, you know, loss of a job or something. That's understandable. But some people are like, you know, professional swindlers.
Yeah.
They'll just show up and see how long they can stay for free. And then once you evict them, they'll just move on to the next landlord that they can, you know, they can rip off.
That is so scary.
There are companies that do, you know, tenant reference checks now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
well, in the real
that.
Estate world, when we get rentals and when we have a renter that comes through in any way, shape, or form, they have to go through more, almost as much as a mortgage to get into a place. Yeah.
Yeah, they're employed and they have money and everything.
And it's interesting because it is a different world. Like mortgage companies, renters, and rentees keep buyers out because they have to be qualified. But a lot of the renters, tenants, have bad credit because they don't have a house for a reason.
Yeah.
So they come through saying, look, I hope you like me and I can give you some great references, but I've been on hard times. I lost my house. And now how do I get a rentor to give me the tenancy because I don't have great credit?
You know, landlord doesn't want to go into a lease knowing that the rent's
yeah.
not going to get paid.
Exactly.
He's going to want to see yeah. at least that you're employed and you have the income
yep.
you know, to pay this. If for some reason or other he stops paying the rent, then you can have him evicted.
I can't believe it. I didn't know you could do it that fast. That's good.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, I just assumed that people waited longer than that, but that's good to know. Good.
Yeah, they have say, for example, in Hunterdon County, they have a landlord-tenant day. It's usually on Mondays.
Oh,
and
in court?
And they'll come out and call the list, mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of times, very often, when it's for non-payment of rent, the tenant doesn't show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they just, I guess they're in the process of moving out or whatever. But if a tenant owes the rent, and there's an order, a judgment for possession entered, and the tenant doesn't move out, then you have to go through the removal process.
How long does that take?
Well, you have to wait 3 business days after the judgment for possession
mm-hmm.
to request the warrant for removal to issue.
Is that like eviction?
Well, it's not like an eviction. Well, it's actually the removal.
What does that mean?
It means a court officer will go there to the property. The owner will meet the court officer there and a police officer if needed. change the locks, and physically remove the tenant. Now, he'll only remove the tenant, not the tenant's property.
Why?
It's only their job to remove the tenant. The property's not their problem. Now, the landlord can't just put the property out at the curb. There's a statute in New Jersey that the landlord has to safeguard the property for a certain amount of time, make arrangements with the tenant to come and get it. If the tenant doesn't do that, serve a notice upon the tenant that if they don't come within a certain amount of time, they'll dispose of the property.
Can they keep it?
If the tenant, you know, if they serve the appropriate notices and if it's worth keeping.
I mean, I don't mean to be.
I've seen a lot of times where people that
I'm
were.
I'm like so into this. I don't know why. I love real estate, so it's whatever.
You know, where people that were.
You learn so much.
Say hoarders.
Yep.
You know, didn't pay the rent and had the rental unit in such a bad condition that there was nothing worth anything. It was just trash to throw out.
Wow.
But no, it's, you know, there are protections for the tenant that the landlord's got to comply with to make sure it doesn't come back to haunt him. Just like if the tenant leaves and has a security deposit, the law requires that within 30 days you have to send to the tenant an itemized list of any deductions you're making from the security deposit and, you know, sending them the balance if there is any. Now, if the tenant turns around and sues you, claiming that you wrongfully withheld their security deposit, and the court holds that you did wrongfully withhold it, the tenant gets back twice the amount that you withheld, plus attorney fees.
Well, I guess I can understand that. I was getting terrified before when you were talking about how mostly it's a very hard tenant state where it's like,
well,
there's a balance there. That's, I mean, now that I know that if someone wasn't 3 months behind, because I just picture if I were in a landlord situation, if, I mean, it's a domino effect, man. If you don't pay me, I'm dead. You know what I mean? Like, then,
well, landlord's got expenses too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. So, I mean, hey, if they don't pay and you say it's
only
not that.
One non-payment where you can file the eviction action.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What about like intended uses for the property as far as that goes? What's the deal with that? Like, if someone comes into a legal rental, but you know that, as an example, my mom is going to be moving in next year because she is, you know, alone and she's moving in on X date.
Yeah, you got to make sure you have it in the lease that as to who can reside in the property and what the rules are. If you break the rules, the landlord can send you a notice to stop breaking the rules. And if you don't stop, then they can, you know, then evict you. One thing I always tell landlords to put in their lease that any late rent payments, plus if the landlord has to do any enforcement action to enforce the lease, such as hire an attorney to evict you, that those items are payable by the tenant as additional rent. And those are the magic words you have to have in the lease, as additional rent, because then the tenant is responsible. So if, you know, you have to pay an attorney to go to court and the tenant shows up the day of court saying, I want to pay the rent, well, then you got to pay the rent plus
the attorney.
But it has to be in the lease and say it's payable as
additional
rent.
That's great. No, good. So they can come to you. So say someone out there is thinking about renting out their legal rental. They can come to you and you will help them,
we'll help them
with the contract.
The
you'll walk them through the whole thing. And then if someone comes and applies for as a tenant, you'll look out for their best interest.
Yeah. I mean, you always look for those things. You know, for the landlord, I say, you know, you should have this in your lease. And for a tenant, I'm saying, well, if the landlord's telling you this, if it's not in the lease, you know, many times I've gone to court representing tenants where the landlord comes in and they haven't filed the landlord registration statement. So it's like case dismissed, but it buys them a little more time because, you know, the first thing the landlord is going to do is go down and file the
registration statement. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's great. All right. We'll see. You'll have about 2 minutes left. Is there anything else you want to make sure everybody knows out there? It's so great to have you here.
No, nothing else I can think of unless you have any questions.
No, I'm good. I want everybody again to know John Galena. He is an attorney at law, award-winning in Hunterdon County. He is tell again about what you practice. You have real estate.
Real estate, landlord-tenant, civil litigation, criminal municipal court, zoning and planning.
So perfect. And I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey. And this is Hunterdon Chamber Radio. If you're out there, thank you for watching in on our Facebook stream and watch for our YouTube channel. Subscribe to it. Thank you so much for being here today. Congratulations again on your award winning.
Thanks for asking me.
Oh, yeah. It's great. So, and thanks again for watching in. And we'll see you soon. Have a great week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
U.S. House Democrats introducing a new bill they say will fight the effects of climate change.
Today, the House Democratic majority is honoring the will of the people and taking first strong steps to protect our planet and our future.
Many Democrats joining Speaker Nancy Pelosi as she unveiled H.R. 9, which is known as the Climate Action Now Act.
The bill, this is about jobs. It's about good paying green jobs.
The bill aims to reduce carbon pollution and honors the U.S. targets set by the Paris Climate Agreement, even though the Trump administration has pulled the nation out of that pact. Jake Patterson, accused of kidnapping 13-year-old Jamie Kloss last October and holding her for months and also murdering her parents, is expected to plead guilty to numerous charges in a Wisconsin courtroom shortly. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
One person's been killed and dozens more have been injured in an explosion at a sweet factory in northern Mexico. The BBC's Emily Thomas reports.
It's usually where gummy bears, jelly beans and other sweets are made for export. Now the Dulces blueberry factory is the scene of a desperate rescue effort. Smoke billows from the wrecked building as shocked workers make their escape. When they arrived at the site hours earlier, some complained of an acid smell on the second floor. Then, in the early afternoon, a huge explosion ripped through the furnace section.
Massive clouds of smoke spewed from U.S. wildfires raging ever more intensely in recent summers send soot, carbon monoxide and other toxins far and wide, posing health hazards for distant communities, scientists warned in a study on Thursday. The Natural Resources Defense Council report was based on government satellite images of smoke plumes from 2011, the latest such data available. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, or weight gain? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambryn can help you balance hormones and relieve your hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, and other symptoms of menopause. And now you can finally lose weight. Yes, even that stubborn body fat with Ambryn Weight Loss. Call now and ask how you can get your free sample of Ambryn Weight Loss. Call 1-800-424-7310. That's 1-800-424-7310.
German and French accusations that the United States has run spying operations in their countries, including possibly bugging Chancellor Angela Merkel's mobile phone, are likely to dominate an EU leaders' meeting starting on Thursday. The two-day Brussels summit, called to tackle a range of social and economic issues, will now be overshadowed by debate on responding to the alleged espionage by Washington against two of its closest European Union allies. President Aaron Hernandez is due to appear in a Massachusetts court in connection with the murder case against the former New England Patriot. A pretrial conference for Tanya Singleton is scheduled for Thursday afternoon in Fall River Superior Court. A shoplifting attempt becomes a life-changing event for a single mother. Correspondent Jason Wirt reports.
A struggling single mother has found a shoplifting arrest may be changing her family's life for the better. Robles was caught trying to shoplift $300 worth of groceries. Miami-Dade police officer Vicki Thomas asked the woman why she did it. When Robles replied she had no food for her three kids, the 20-year veteran officer ran a background check and discovered that Robles had no track record.